Hello. This week, Dana Lindsay preached on forgiveness, but unfortunately, the recording got started after he began. He started with the parable of the two servants in Matthew 18, verses 21 through 35, where a servant is found guilty by his master for not forgiving a fellow servant a small debt, even though he himself had been forgiven a large debt. Dana's first point was simply that living in a world like ours, we all are frequently hurt by other people. We join him now as he looks at the ways we often respond when we are hurt.
Battle scars that have been inflicted on us by other people. So what is the natural thing that people do whenever they get hurt or they get wounded? Well, there are generally three things, I think, that people do. Number one, they try to bury their hurts. Number two, they try to carry their hurts. And number three, they try to bury their hurts. You like that alliteration? Hopefully it'll help you. Yeah? Okay? Try to bury them, we try to carry them, we try to bury them. So, what do we mean by burying them? A lot of people, especially those who are non-confrontational, if something bad happens and they are wounded and hurt by somebody, the tendency is just to try to stuff it. And we think, if I don't think about it, it'll just go away. So in some closet of our lives, we take up this hurt and we try to stuff it in there and close the door and just forget about it. Or we proverbially pick up the rug and sweep it under the carpet so we don't have to deal with it. Proverbs tells us that anxiety weighs down a heart, but a kind word cheers it up. And again in Proverbs it says that a happy heart makes a face cheerful, but heartache crushes the spirit. You see, if something happens bad to us and we try to stuff it away and bury it somewhere where we don't see it, we don't think about it and all that, it's still there. It hasn't gone away. So what happens to it? Well, we might be able to not think about it for a while. But sooner or later, it might be an hour, it might be a day, it might be 25 years. All of that stuff that has been buried down deep in us molds and rots and decomposes. And something is going to come along that is going to trigger the remembrance of that event that happened. And then it is not going to be pretty. Because something is going to rise up and erupt out of us, just like lava out of a volcano. And woe betide the person that's in the way. Because when this explodes from having been buried for however long, it is not going to be pretty. It's going to be very devastating, not only to the individual, but to the people who are around the individual. So, do we want to bury these hurts? Yeah, probably not. So some people try to carry them. What do I mean by that? There are folks that thrive on the negative. And when something legitimately bad happens to them, they go into victim mode and develop what is referred to as a victim mentality, where everything that happens to me is somebody else's fault. It's not mine, and I don't have to take responsibility for it. I'm going to put up here some characteristics of the victim mentality. I got these off the web. I am not endorsing the website. Okay? It's not a Christian website, but I compared what this one says with the Christian websites, and they all say the same thing. This is just neater and more succinct. Here's a person with a victim mentality. They're constantly blaming other people or situations for feeling miserable. They possess a life is against me philosophy. They think others are purposely trying to hurt them. They are cynical or pessimistic. They feel powerless to change their circumstances. They enjoy sharing their tragic stories with other people. They have a habit of blaming, attacking, and accusing those they love for how they feel. They are constantly putting themselves down. They believe they are the only one being targeted for mistreatment. They refuse to analyze their beliefs or improve their life. And even when things go right, they find something to complain about. Have you ever run into a person like this? I have. Okay? I've been around for 65 years, so yes, I have run into people who have the victim mentality. It's no matter what happens to them, it's always something else to blame. Never me, always something else. This often happens when something traumatic takes place in that person's life, maybe at a young age, maybe middle age, whatever, but they carry this around with them. This becomes their identity. Okay? This becomes their identity. I had a guy in a church that I pastored who moved here to Maine. So now you know it was in Maine. And his mother and his grandmother were both into witchcraft. And he suffered from demonic influence in his life. I think he was demon-possessed. We spent hours with him trying to pray him free from all of this demonic influence and everything else. We finally came to the point where we realized he didn't want help. That persona that he allowed to take over in his life was his identity. And he carried that with him. And no matter what we prayed or whatever, there was no freedom. And I finally told him, Tom, I am not going to deal with you anymore until you want to get your heart right with God. But he's one of these who carried around what happened to him in his younger life. It became his identity, and he always played the victim. The third thing people naturally do whenever they are hurt, wounded in some way, is that they bury these. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, Paul says in Ephesians 4:31, get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. There are six things here that Paul lists, which I believe are expressions of someone who has been wounded, someone who has been hurt very deeply. And these expressions can take the form of bitterness. And there's just, you know. Any of you like horseradish? I like horseradish, okay? It's about the only bitter thing I like. It tastes good. But there are other bitter things that I'm just don't want them. They're harsh, okay? And a lot of times wounded people become harsh. There's not a softness to them. There's not a gentleness to them. It's just prickly all the way around, okay? And then sometimes there's this flaring of rage, or they're constantly angry. No matter what you say, no matter what you do, you know, you get that kind of a reaction to it. Brawling, trying to pick a fight with other people, slandering people, being malicious in their behavior toward other people. This is what I mean by people who are wounded burying their hurt. How many times have we heard of people who torture animals only to dig back into their history and find out that they were abused at home by a parent or a close relative or something of that nature? They can't do anything in that situation, but they will find something smaller or weaker than they are, and they will inflict that kind of pain on something or someone else. This is how the anger, the expression, is buried. It comes out in all kinds of different ways. So naturally, we try to bury these, we try to carry these, we try to bury these. Who is it hurting? You can talk in church. Yourself, okay? Sometimes people think, when they're hurt, if I do this, I'm going to get back at them. Somehow this is going to just, you know, pay them back. And it doesn't. The only thing these things do is hurt ourselves. All they do is rile us up, get us twisted all in knots, and we become miserable people. Very, very miserable people. And we're only hurting ourselves by doing this. So what's the answer? Is there an answer? Well, the Bible says that there is. So what is God's prescription for handling our hurts? And we find from our text this morning that it is forgiveness. So I want to delve into this just a little bit, talk about what forgiveness is, why we need to do it, some of the outcomes from it. What is forgiveness? Well, in this text, the Greek word literally means to let go or to give up a debt, to forgive or remit. Matter of fact, it's the same word that we find in the Lord's Prayer that we as a congregation recite every Sunday here in church. When Jesus says, "Forgive us our debts or sins as we forgive those who sin against us," that's the word that is used here, the same as in Matthew 18. So it's really a letting go, or it is a canceling of one's liability toward us. The Bible makes it very clear that sin is a debt that we owe to God. God is pure, God is holy, God is righteous, and if we wanted to be like Him and we want to have fellowship with Him, we can't do that because there is a debt that we owe. We are sinners, every last one of us. What God has done is He has forgiven us of that debt because of Jesus, and when we ask Him to forgive the debt, He does it freely, without qualification. You're done. The sin is gone. Because of the blood of my Son, Jesus Christ, I wash you clean, and you are holy, and I accept you as my child. He chooses to do that. Now, if you forget everything else that I say here this morning, I want you to remember this one thing. Okay? Forgiveness is a choice. It is not an emotion. Forgiveness is a choice. It is not an emotion. There may be times when we have been hurt and we remember or recall the event or events that caused that hurt and we don't feel very forgiving. Sometimes there is anger. Sometimes there is shame. Sometimes there are other emotions that well up within us and we don't feel very forgiving. That's okay. Forgiveness is a choice. We choose to take this hurt, take this wounding that we have experienced, and we let go of it. We give it to God. We are not going to allow that to control us. We are not going to allow that to have that kind of influence in our lives where it's the thing that we think about when we wake up in the morning. It's the last thing we think about when we go to sleep at night, that it just possesses our mind over and over again. When we forgive, we are canceling a debt. We are asking God to take that away from us so that we then can live in freedom. You see, God chose to forgive us. He chose to forgive us a debt we can never repay. Just like in the parable that Jesus spoke in Matthew chapter 18, the guy with 10,000 bags of gold that he owed. God has forgiven that. If God has forgiven that, then we also are under obligation to forgive those who owe us the 100 silver coins, according to the parable. Okay? The debt we owe God is much greater than the debt anybody else owes us. Now, that does not minimize the fact that we have been hurt, that we have been wounded, that we have suffered at the hands of somebody else. I'm not minimizing that. But in God's economy, we owe Him far more than anybody else will ever owe us. And because of that, we are called to forgive. So why do we need to forgive? Well, we talked about burying all of these bad things. Does that do us any good? It does not. And that's why Peter tells us to cast all of your anxiety on Him, because He cares for you. We're not supposed to stuff these things away. We're not supposed to open up a closet in our hearts and put that in there somewhere and never think about it again. That's not what we're supposed to do. Are we supposed to carry these things? Are we supposed to be the victim all the time and share with everybody just how bad it is? No, that doesn't do any good either. Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians, but thanks be to God who always leads us as captives in Christ's triumphal procession and uses us to spread the aroma of the knowledge of him everywhere. When people bump into us, they should smell Jesus. They shouldn't smell our hurt and our wounds and all the baggage that we carry around. We are encouraged here in Scripture to give that to the Lord so that when people bump into us, they are bumping into Jesus. And they smell him. They see him. They feel him. They understand. He has made a difference in our lives. And we are not reacting the way the world does. Does varying our experience help us? It does not. It only hurts other people. So Paul says in Ephesians 4:32, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. So why do we forgive? The bottom line is because God has forgiven us. In Mark chapter 11, Jesus says these words, when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them, so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins. You see, forgiveness isn't an easy thing to do. It can be very difficult. But one thing we can be sure of, if God has commanded us to forgive those who offend us, then God is going to give us the grace and the provision to do that. He doesn't ask us to do anything that he won't help us do. You with me? Okay? So if he tells us that we need to forgive those who have hurt us and those who have offended us, then it is an act of obedience for us to do that. He expects us to follow his word. So probably some questions have been raised in your mind as we've made these comments about forgiveness. And I want to address a few of those. What if the offender never asks for forgiveness? Or what if they have passed away and there's absolutely no possibility of contact with that person? Do I still need to forgive? The answer to that is yes, you do. Because this is not a matter of you and the other person now. You are making a choice to get your heart in line with God's heart. This is between you and God. So whether another person who has offended you asks for forgiveness or not, we need to forgive. It's what the Bible tells us. As God has forgiven us a debt we could never repay, so we are to forgive those who have sinned against us. Person's passed away, can't do it. It's okay. You go to God and you say, God, I have this hurt. I have this wound. This person did bad to me. I'm letting go of this. I'm giving it to you. You deal with it. You deal with the person. I'm not the judge, jury, and executioner. You take care of it, Lord. I want release from this. I forgive. You take it from me. So, it doesn't matter if the offender asks or not. We need to forgive. It's a matter of our heart being in line with God. Second question. Do I have to let this person back into my life? The short answer is no. If the person or persons who hurt you and wounded you have a pattern of this kind of behavior, I wouldn't go near them, ever. If it's a friendship that maybe has been slightly fractured but can be glued back together again, well, maybe that person can come back in your life. I want to tell you a story. Quite a number of years ago, my wife and I were spiritually abused by a pastor. We were accused of saying things, here we go, that I didn't say. And she was accused of saying things that some of them she did say, but in a totally different context than what they were applied to. So what was happening here was the pastor and his wife got three other couples who were in leadership in the church, and they called us in and confronted us. And they told me what I had said. I said, I didn't say that. I didn't say anything like that. Yes, you did. No, I didn't. See, I'm not afraid of confrontation, so I just, you know. They started in on my wife. And you would not believe the swords that came out and started slicing her. I was seeing red, and I was about ready to react in an ungodly way. We got out of there without doing that, but they wanted us to write a letter of confession of the wrong that we had done. We were taken out of all of the leadership positions that we were in the church, and we were basically frozen out of the church. Without saying you can't come here anymore, they basically said we don't want you here anymore. I had never experienced anything of that depth of hurt. That crushed me, and it was worse for Lynn, because she took the brunt of the whole thing. It was awful. We walked out, and I told her, I says, I'm not writing a letter. I will never admit to anything I didn't do, and I didn't do it, and I won't do it. So we're done. I wrestled with this for a little while, and I had the opportunity to drive past that church almost on a daily basis. I made a decision. I said, God, I'm not going to carry this around for the rest of my life. This hurt. I am deeply grieved over what happened. But I am choosing, Lord, for you to take this from me, and for you to bless that church and bless that pastor. And every time I would drive by there, I would pray, Lord, bless that church. Prosper that church. Bless that pastor. You take care of him. And whatever he did, whatever else he does, you be his judge. You take care of him. Now we found out that he had a pattern of doing this. There were other people in the church, friends of ours, who went through almost the exact same thing we did. He and his wife never came and asked for forgiveness. To this day, they have never come and asked for forgiveness. But I have forgiven them. I only tell the story now as an illustration, but I made a choice to forgive that man. The other six people who confronted us, all six of them have come back and asked for forgiveness. And they said, we were wrong. You did not deserve what happened to you. And we forgave. But I forgave the pastor too. And to this day, I have no animosity in my heart toward him. Now, would I go back to a church that he was pastoring and sit under his ministry? Absolutely not. Would I open myself up and make myself vulnerable to him? No way. Matter of fact, this pastor was later found out to be having an affair with a secretary in the church. He had to leave the church, and I have no idea where he is or what he's doing now. But this is a decision that I made. There were times I did not feel very forgiving. But because the Word of God tells me I am to forgive my brother or sister who sins against me, that was a choice I made, and I am glad to this day that I made it, because I have been free of that. I do not dwell on that. I don't think about that every day. And I only, like I said, I only say this as an illustration that forgiveness is possible. Another question that may come up is, how do I handle the negative feelings I have toward this person who hurt me? This is not easy. But the answer is, you keep going back to the Lord. You keep going back. Lord, I don't feel forgiving, but I have chosen to forgive. Will you please heal my heart? Heal my mind. I may be scarred and I may be wounded, but I'm not going to let this thing have control of my life, and I'm not going to live according to what this person did to me. I want to live according to your purpose in my life, Lord Jesus. And so we have to go back over and over and over again to the throne of grace. And we forgive, we let go, we cancel the debt. We say, Lord, I'm not taking this on. This is yours. You deal with it. I want to be free in you. Now, depending on the depth of wounding that a person has experienced, it may be necessary at some point along the way to seek professional help. You may need a counselor who can help you get in touch with what happened there so that they can then lead you on a path of healing and wholeness as you claim your forgiveness in Jesus Christ. Some people may not need that. Other people may need that. It's okay. God is a healer. God wants to heal our wounded hearts. We may carry the scars, but he will heal the wound. So those negative feelings, those are natural, okay? But we don't dwell on that. We don't stay there. We go back to God and we say, Lord, it's yours. This happened. It's bad. I hurt. But I'm giving it to you, and I'm praying for your power to come and to heal me. I'm sure you've heard this one. I'll forgive, but I'll never forget. You know what? Probably true. God has made our brains like a giant recorder, like a giant hard drive. Every sensory input that we have ever experienced is recorded in our brains. And probably the only way that those things can't be brought up is either through a traumatic injury or some disease that affects our brain. Other than that, normally, all of those things that we have seen, heard, touched, tasted, and smelled, they're recorded in here somewhere. Have you ever been someplace doing something and you smell something and all of a sudden your memory goes back 20 years to grandma's house or something? I have had that. Both of my grandmother's houses were clean, but they had unique, distinct odors in certain parts of the house. And there are times that I'll get a whiff of something. It's like, oh, that smells like Grammy Cash's house. That smells like Grandma Lindsay's house. Okay? All of that's recorded up here. The bad stuff that has happened to us is all recorded up here. You're probably not going to forget it, but you don't have to think about it every day, for hours each day. It does not have to control your life. You do not have to be under the domination of those evil things that happen to you. There is deliverance. There is freedom that comes in forgiving. Jesus has promised that. And as we go back to him over and over and over again, he brings his healing, he brings his peace, he brings his power to bear in us so that we don't carry around all of these hurts that we've had for years. I want to close with a couple of quotes. I never heard of this pastor. I found this on the web, but I like it. It says, although I cannot control my circumstances, I can always control my response. We can't control everything that comes into our lives. We can't control other people and stop them from hurting us. But we can control how we respond to those circumstances. We can bury them, we can carry them, we can bury them, or we can forgive. And when we forgive, we walk into the freedom that Jesus Christ has promised us. And then Corrie ten Boom said this, "Forgiveness is setting the prisoner free, only to find out that the prisoner was me." When people hurt us, oftentimes they are trying to dominate, they are trying to control, they're trying to keep their claws into our lives. When we forgive, Jesus sets us free from that. We don't have to be a prisoner to the hurts and the wounds that we have experienced in life. Christ has come to set us free. And the way to freedom from all of these hurts and wounds that we have is to forgive as Christ has forgiven us. Let's pray. Lord, life is tough. Some of us have been wounded, hurt, not just once or twice, but maybe multiple times. And those things have a profound effect on the way that we think, the way that we react, the way we function. It can just be devastating. But your word tells us, Lord, that there is freedom from that. And there is freedom in sweet forgiveness. As you have forgiven us, I pray, Lord, that you would give us the grace and the power to forgive those who have hurt us. And when we don't feel like we are forgiving, Lord, come and change our feelings. Come and remind us that just like in salvation, when we said yes to Jesus and we believe that you came and washed our sins away, may we have that same faith that when we say, "I forgive so-and-so," that you come and you release us from that power. You release us from that bondage so that we can walk into your freedom and walk into your light. So, Lord, I pray this morning if there are those here who have been carrying hurt, wounds, grudges, bitterness, maybe for years and years and years, that today would be the day that they would be set free in order to enjoy the new life, the abundant life that you have promised to give us in Jesus Christ. Let your forgiveness come to our hearts as we forgive those who have sinned against us. We pray this in Jesus' name.